Thanks, Tony. Good afternoon. I have to echo what Tom said this morning about the feast going fast. It hardly arrived and it's gone. I think it goes faster than the Feast of Tabernacles. My theory is that because we're about our daily activities during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that makes it go faster. Seems like it. We need a daily reminder, and we have a daily reminder that we are even in a feast during the days of Unleavened Bread, which is the bread, of course. The bread is a reminder. It is a symbol that we eat every day. Of course, it was a reminder in Israel's time of their hurry out of Egypt. But the first Passover and that exodus from Egypt were types. They were types of something very more important than those events. And now that more important event has happened, I think the bread is even more symbolic than it was then. And I say that in the sense that it is a symbol of something that did not even involve bread, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a symbol. The feast, of course, never was, Old Testament or New Testament, it never was about the bread itself, but it is a reminder of a greater event. I want to pick one particular symbolic meaning of the bread, a meaning that Jesus Christ tells us about, and I think he connects it with this feast. It is in the book of John. I'm going to start with the same scripture that Tony ended his sermon with. Back in John, he uses the expression, the bread of life, and I'm going to suggest that this feast includes that as the meaning of the unleavened bread, and that you could call this then the feast of the bread of life. It is the same thing as the feast of unleavened bread. 2 points today, general outline. One is that life has always been the big issue. There have always been symbols for what we're really after here, which is life. Number one being the tree of life, right? Back in Genesis 3, in the Garden of Eden, the symbol for life was the tree of life. God said that if Adam and Eve took of it, they would live forever, right in the very beginning. That's why when they disobeyed him, he sent them out of the garden, because he said, lest they put forth their hand, his hand, and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. The tree was symbolic. We're talking about symbols today. The tree was symbolic. Both trees were symbolic. They were real trees. I'm not saying they weren't. It's not a true story. It was a true story. They were both trees, but they were symbolic of something different. Something, the choice that human beings had to make. The trees were symbols. Trees were never really about food. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil did not kill them, in the sense that it was not poisonous, was that it was not magical fruit. It was symbolic of the choice that they had to make, their choice to disregard God. And the other tree, the tree of life, likewise, I don't think was magical fruit. You know, eating one of the fruit wasn't going to make them spirit beings. I don't believe it would have. It is, in fact, my impression that they did eat of the tree of life. They weren't told not to eat of it. It was there, and they weren't prohibited from eating it of it. I think they ate of it. But I think they would have needed a steady diet of the tree of life. It was symbolic of an attitude. It wasn't magic. It was symbolic of the attitude of obeying God, of respecting and admiring his opinion, his word, appreciating what he taught them. If they'd had the willingness to obey God, he would have worked with them, but they didn't, and so they were barred from future access from that tree. The point is that life was the issue from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, and the trees were symbolic of that. Another symbol, again, I'm talking about symbols today, was the living water. That's in John chapter 4. That's the account of Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember that? There he speaks of living water in chapter 4, verse 10. And in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "But whoever drinks of that water, I will give him, that I will give him, will never thirst." One drink? No, he says, "But the water that I will give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." It wasn't one drink, but it was a well of water. Also symbolic. It was a symbol like the fruit of the trees or the bread. You consume it. It's inside of you. It becomes part of you. And this living water then could grow up into eternal life. And then the third one is the one we're coming to today, which is the bread of life, which is in John 6, which is where Tony left off. John 6, it only occurs here, by the way, this phrase, bread of life. I have to turn to the same scripture as Tony used because there's no other choice. It's the only place in the Bible where this phrase is used. But notice the setting of John chapter 6 in verse 4. The Passover, a feast of the Jews, was at hand. This was in the springtime. This is the only gospel writer who says so, that this chapter occurs, or this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and the talking about the bread of life occurs in the springtime. Only John says that. He's talking here about the entire feast, though, isn't he? He's not talking about the night of the Passover, but a feast of the Jews. He's talking about the Days of Unleavened Bread. All the other gospel writers call it the Days of Unleavened Bread, but John calls it Passover. It's clearly occurring. The story is clearly occurring just before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and not the feast where Jesus is taken prisoner and killed, but the setting of the discussion of the bread here is at the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the subject of the whole chapter is bread. First, physical bread. In chapter 6, verse starting in verse 5, is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with bread. And he starts the miracle of the feeding with 5 barley loaves, it says, and 2 fishes. This miracle, as I said, of feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all 4 Gospels, but only John mentions the detail that the loaves were barley. I think that's particularly significant to this feast of unleavened bread. You know, the first grain of spring is barley. So the first grain that puts forth heads is the barley, and that's called the Abib. At the Abib of the barley, the putting forth of heads, that month is to be the first month of the year. And the wave sheaf, then, that wave sheaf that, which represents Jesus Christ, is the first barley sheaf of the year. So I think it's no coincidence that Jesus feeds the crowd with barley at this time of the year. By the way, we read portions of this chapter. Remember, we read them at the Passover. And well, we should, because it is very much connected to Jesus Christ being the Passover and the wave sheaf. And the 5,000 people who received this bread may have seen it as a sign that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah. Says so in verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as written, he gave them bread from heaven." Moses was the prophet who fed them manna in the wilderness, and now here was the new Messiah who was giving them bread. And they wanted more. They sought more bread. They thought that's the kind of Messiah that he was. But Jesus gave them a different meaning. A new meaning to the bread. He calls it the bread of life in verse 35. "I am the bread of life." The literal bread here in this miracle was just a symbol, but Jesus explains its meaning down in verse 57. "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me." The bread is about life, not about food. And the symbol of the bread applies, I think, to the whole feast, not just the first bite. at the Passover, but the whole feast. This is a feast of the eating of the bread. Eat this bread, Jesus Christ says, and live. 7 days, the daily reminder of why we are feasting. Life, to gain life, and life has always been the issue. The second general point to make then is that this is not just avoiding sin, which it is avoiding sin, but it is living as Christ lived. It is living as Christ lived. Whether the symbol is fruit of the trees in the garden, or water, or bread, the real issue is, what is God forming in you? And Jesus Christ is the answer to that question. He's the example of what God is forming and how he will form it. Jesus Christ being the image of the Father, and God is love. God does good to people. Jesus Christ does likewise. Jesus Christ's example is more than just being fair in business. Fairness is one weightier matter of the law. But Christ goes the extra mile, and he's kind, for that's pretty well exemplified in his healing miracles. Jesus Christ is good to people, like his Father who makes the sun shine on the just and the unjust. Jesus Christ is the one who in Ephesians says, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That is love, wanting people's good. And Christ is also the example of loyalty to God. It is the first great commandment, to love God. One of the weightier matters of the law, which is called faithfulness. And Christ is the great example of obedience. Paul says, even unto death by the cross. So eating Christ, eating the bread of life, is symbolic for putting him within us. It is his character, his nature, way of thinking, growing within us, sort of like a disciple, imitating the master, the rabbi, the master in everything. The New Testament is littered with those words. That is, I mean, if you search for in you or conform to the image, it's all through the New Testament that Christ, the bread of life, is in you. You find it in 2 Corinthians, Jesus Christ is in you. In Romans 8, if Christ be in you, in Galatians, until Christ be formed in you, in Ephesians, Christ may dwell in your hearts. In Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. In Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is learning to live as he lived. And if that bread of life grows in you, it becomes something, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the famous verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Live by the faith of, that is, in other words, we are to live by his faith, which is his practice, his religion, his way of life. You live like him, and you gain life like his. That is the way to life. That is Christ formed within us. And life, as I said, is what it was all about from the beginning. Life has always been the big issue. And the bread is a symbol of life. What is important is what God is forming in you, living as Christ lived, mercy, kindness, complete faithfulness. He's the model, the perfect man. And so we eat of him, he is formed in us. In that sense, he is our feast of life. We're feasting on the bread of life.